Grace be unto you and peace from the triune God, the God who by his power and by his grace has created the gift of saving faith in your hearts. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that doesn't surprise me at all. How often have you heard that statement made concerning someone else? How often have you spoken those words concerning someone else? By itself, that statement is completely neutral, isn't it? But that statement becomes either positive or negative depending on whom those words are spoken about. If you hear in the news that a certain celebrity or a certain athlete has gotten in trouble with the law, yet again, you might say to yourself, that doesn't surprise me at all. If you hear in the news that Bill Gates is developing a revolutionary new computer program, again, you might say to yourself, that doesn't surprise me at all. Our sermon text for today gives us an opportunity to look at a subject that we don't really talk about all that much. That subject is our reputation in the eyes of others. This portion of God's holy word focuses our attention on a man whose name we don't even know. What we do know about this man is indeed his reputation. Today then, let's look at the example of a Roman centurion and see how his example leads us to ask ourselves, what's your reputation? There are two things that we want to look at today. First of all, let's look at the fact that our reputation in the eyes of others is very often determined by the actions of our life. And then let's look at the fact that our reputation in the eyes of others is very often confirmed by the attitude that lives in our heart, an attitude that is reflected in the way that we speak. I direct your attention to the opening portion of our text for today. Here you and I are able to see how the centurion's reputation was indeed evidenced by the actions of his life. Look at verses 2 and 3. There, in Capernaum, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. While there were undoubtedly any number of servants in the Roman Empire whose masters probably would have just kicked them out into the street if they were sick and about to die, this Roman centurion actually and genuinely cared about his servant, didn't he? In fact, we're told that this Roman centurion valued his servant so highly that he went out of his way to do something to help him. He turned to the only person that had the power to heal his servant. He turned to Jesus of Nazareth. Was this simply a flash in the pan type of concern, my friends? Was this Roman centurion kind of like a Sunday morning Christian? Was he like someone who turns to God and asks for his help when things are going badly in his life, but he has no time or need for God when things are going well in his life? Not at all. Look at verses 4 and 5. Luke continues. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. We simply cannot overemphasize how extraordinary these words are. This Roman centurion was an officer in the army that had conquered and was now occupying the land that the Lord God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. And yet, even though this man was an officer in an occupying army, the elders of the Jews were not only willing to go to him and ask him to help Jesus, but were told that they pleaded earnestly with Jesus to grant this man's request. Why? Because this Roman centurion had gained a reputation among God's people, a reputation that was evidenced by the actions of his life. As a convert to Judaism, this Roman centurion not only loved God's chosen people, but he even built them a synagogue so that they would have a place where they could come together to worship and praise the one and only living God. What a wonderful example this man has set for you and for me. How well are we doing in striving to follow his example? Do we have a reputation for honestly and genuinely caring about other people? Or do we have a reputation for caring mostly about ourselves? Do we have a reputation for loving the family of believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ? Or do we have a reputation for being cold and critical and cliquish? Do we have a reputation for loving the Lord our God so very much that we gladly and generously support his work here in our congregation, not only so that we can have a place to gather together to worship and praise our God, but so also that we might reach out to those who do not yet know Jesus as their only Savior from sin? Or do we have a reputation for giving only enough offerings to pacify our conscience and meet a bare bones budget? Are the people who know us the best, the people who see us every day, they know so much about us, are they able to see that our Christian faith is an important part of our daily life, no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing, no matter whom we are with? Or do we have the reputation of being a Sunday morning Christian? What do the actions of our life say about us, my friends? What kind of reputation do we have in the eyes of others? Just as we can gain a reputation by the actions of our life, so also our reputation is confirmed by the attitude of our heart, an attitude that other people can see, an attitude that other people can hear by listening to the way that we talk. Look at what Luke writes in verses 6 through 8 of our text. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." If you were asked to describe this man's attitude by choosing just one word, what word would you choose? I would choose the word humble. As a military officer, this man understood authority very, very well. As a true believer in the Lord, this man realized that Jesus of Nazareth possesses more power than anyone and everyone on the face of this earth. We see and hear the humble attitude of his heart when he simply says to Jesus, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but say the word, and my servant will be healed." What a wonderful example this man has set for us. How well are we doing in following his example? People do indeed listen to us, my friends. They not only listen to what we say, but they also listen to how we say it. What do they learn about us as they listen to us? When other people listen to us, are they able to hear the kind of humble attitude that filled the heart of this Roman centurion? Or, when people listen to us, do we gain a reputation for being proud, or prejudiced, or self-centered, or uncaring, or even worse? What is your reputation in the eyes of others? What do people think about when they think about you? What words would they use to describe you to someone else? What kind of an example are we setting for our children, our grandchildren, our family, our friends, and our neighbors? I am going to suggest to you today that you consciously take a few moments to ponder questions such as those. And I'm also going to suggest to you today that you take a few moments to consciously ponder what Jesus said concerning this Roman centurion so many years ago. I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. What was the basis for this man's reputation? What motivated the actions of his life? What inspired that humble attitude in his heart? It was his faith, wasn't it? It was the very same gift of faith that the good Lord has created in your heart and in mine. As we grow and mature in our faith through regular study of God's holy word and regular reception of God's holy supper, then like this Roman centurion, our faith will have a more and more powerful impact on the way that we live our life. As our love for our Lord and our thankfulness for what Jesus has done for us grows stronger and deeper, then like this Roman centurion, that love and that thankfulness will have a more and more powerful impact on the attitude that lives in our hearts as well. By God's grace and with God's power, we can follow the example that this Roman centurion has set for us. By God's grace and with God's power, our Christian faith can indeed be the focal point of our reputation in the eyes of others. Personally, I don't think that it was purely by chance that we do not know the name of this Roman centurion. Far more important than his name is the reputation that he has left behind. Through the actions of his life and through the words that reveal the attitude of his heart, this Roman centurion has a reputation that has lasted almost 2,000 years, a reputation for loving the Lord his God, a reputation for loving God's people, a reputation for genuinely caring about others, a reputation for supporting God's church, a reputation for having a great faith, a faith that was open and visible in his daily life. What do you want people to say about you when your name comes up in conversation? When your parents or your children, your family, your friends, your neighbors think about you, what words do you want to go through their mind? When you are gone from this earth, how do you want people to remember you? My prayer this morning, my friends, is actually quite simple. I pray that the good Lord would help each and every one of us to have the same kind of reputation as this Roman centurion here in our text, a reputation that can be seen in the way that we live our life, a reputation that can be heard in the way that we talk, a reputation that enables the Lord Jesus Christ himself to say concerning you and concerning me, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. What's your reputation? To God be the glory. Amen.